This is the New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. I am live in South Carolina for the first in the South presidential primary votes. We did a Jeb Bush event today, and in this podcast, I'm going to take you inside the Jeb Bush event where Lindsey Graham spoke and Jeb Bush, and there's some things going on back home in Minnesota that I need to address in this podcast. So we're going to do that in podcast 465 as we broadcast live from South Carolina. I'm at a TA truck stop. It's kind of like an airport for trucks. It's crazy here. And the candidates are starting to crowd into South Carolina because the Republican primary is the 20th of February and the Democrat primary is February 27th. And we're going to start in Charleston, South Carolina, and we're going to end up in Sumter. I hope that's how you pronounce it, South Carolina. And it's fun. Starting out in Charleston last night, I basically drove into town, turned a corner, and ended up in the heart of the entertainment district with all the hipsters and the Chinese food, and got introduced to a band and had a really good time. So we're going to start with that. Well, let me tell you, it is like 55, 60 degrees down here, and the other day it was like 35, and people were saying, oh, it's so cold here. This is just, this winter is so cold, and it's just kind of funny. It is humid, so when it's 35, it's kind of, it feels colder than it actually is, but it's nothing like what people in Minneapolis and St. Paul are experiencing right now. And here's the reason I bring this up. You know, this really, this sub-zero cold, and then it warms up, and then it gets cold again, is really hard on your pipes. You could have all kinds of problems, water heaters, heating systems, pipes, and so forth. And if you have an emergency, I want to put something in your mind. Don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for emergency service. 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They're metro-wide from St. Paul. That means the suburbs, too. So they have a plumber near you, doesn't matter where you are. And for four generations, Ryan Plumbing and Heating has done quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And the thing is, when this stuff happens, you're at a loss for what to do a lot of times. So call Ryan Plumbing and Heating. They're on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol. They've always been there. Again, for emergency service, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. And the thing is, whether it's home or business, you can have the same kinds of problems. The good news is, it won't be long before we're talking about having them come over and check the air conditioning, right? Maybe 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. So I'm kind of glad I'm out of the cold, although I don't want to gloat. Remember, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol. If you want to call them over there, 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Click on the Ryan Plumbing banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast. Takes you to their website, which is amazing. Or you can just do a search, ryanplumbing.com. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Well, I just pulled in here to Charleston and ended up in the music district and parked in front of a bus. And this girl came up and was like, I'm going to get you a place to park, and you're here for the show, and I want you to interview the band. So I was like, yeah, okay, fine. Sounds good to me. So I am waiting for, this is a string band, which I'm sure is going to be great, especially coming into Charleston. So I am just hanging out here. The bus, their bus is right down here. They have a really nice bus, so this is no... This is a really awesome Prevost bus, and I'm parked right in front of it with my diesel running, which is perfect. So if they're going to hang out here all night, then that sounds good to me. But we'll see. Now my phone is ringing here. Hold on. What's up? Hang on. I got to switch headphones. Come on in.
So, no parking because they only have 9 spots and they're already
taken. Oh, is that what it is?
But there's a parking garage around the corner that's $4. Or you can take this risk. And I don't think they're that. They're not out. He said they don't really come out until 6 a.m.
Oh, well, I'll be gone by then.
Oh, cool. So. Well, I'm going to go chat with the band and get this. I got to record their session real quick.
I'm going to go over to this Thai place and see if they have to-go food.
Perfect. And then I'll get you on the list and we'll get you inside.
Sounds good.
Yeah,
thank you.
No problem.
In podcast 464, I think gave the impression that all of South Carolina was in Appalachia in the last podcast, or Appalachia, where however you pronounce it, which was really about Tennessee and Western Virginia, hence the discussion of Bristol, Tennessee. South Carolina is a varied geography in the coastal areas like Myrtle Beach and Charleston to Sumter, which looks like Wisconsin in parts, kind of industrial. There's an Air Force base, a lot of farming and light machinery and light manufacturing, that type of thing. But mostly it's flat, a lot of pines. It's very different from the western part of the state, which does have mountains. So where do we start? I just needed to give you that little disclaimer, because I didn't want the rest of South Carolina to think that I was saying that they were, in mountains, because it isn't true. There's a lot happening back home in Minneapolis and St. Paul as well, not the least of which are the caucuses coming up March 1st. But I want to talk about a couple of second district Republican issues, starting with, well, and really all surrounding congressional candidate Jason Lewis and the Bob Davis podcast. So, as you know, Jason and I worked together at KSTP, and we worked together at News Talk in Minneapolis for years. Jason and I did a podcast before he announced his candidacy. I did it because I like Jason. I love doing radio with Jason. It's a lot of fun. I didn't do it to endorse Jason or anything, or even to argue with Jason. So in that podcast, podcast 404, Jason Lewis explained some of his views on foreign policy. And nobody said anything about it. It just sat there, and that was fine. Now that he is apparently a formidable candidate for Congress, and I say that because he's raised over $100,000, which is more than doubled than what his Republican opponents, as far as I know, have raised, he's now getting daggers from the establishment Republicans in more ways than one. So the first issue is this. Whenever I do a podcast, I write a blog that posts with the podcast and tells you a little bit about what's in it. Now, sometimes people mistakenly read those liner notes and they think that they're transcripts. And I'll tell you why. A lot of podcasters use these transcript services and they post the transcript of their podcast. This is not a transcript. I hate transcripts, because why would you put a transcript up if you want people to listen to your podcast? It's silly. Well, people have read the liner notes, which is essentially a blog that describes the podcast, for podcast 404. And in those notes, I detail my impressions of Jason's views on foreign policy, specifically the Iran deal. Now, in that liner note, I said that he wholeheartedly supported the president's Iran deal. Jason says, no, if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear that I support the deal with caveats. Now, I don't change editorial notes after the fact, but I am going to add an editorial note reflecting Jason's views on what I said, because I think that's only fair. In addition, and I'll tell you why here, because he's getting some flack about it. In addition to setting the record straight on Jason's caveats, I'm also going to make a suggestion, and that is this. If you're going to criticize Jason Lewis or hold back an endorsement of Jason Lewis because he has foreign policy views that you may not agree with, don't base your views on a liner note. The least you can do is actually listen to the podcast and hear why he says what he says, and you can decide for yourself. Podcasts are designed for you to listen to. They're loaded with content. You cannot get that much content on radio, and apparently some former Republican congressman and other Republican actives in the second district don't want to support Jason because they say he supports the president's Iran deal. And apparently that's my fault, because that's what the liner notes say. It's not exactly true. Now, Jason can speak for himself. I'm sure that he will. He's perfectly capable of defending himself. But I would just say this. The more I am out, and this is why this ties into what's going on today, the more I'm out here on the campaign trail going to these events, and the more I hear Republican candidates saying that we have to destroy ISIS, tear up the Iran deal, invoke Ronald Reagan, the more it makes Republicans feel good. And you're going to hear some of that in this podcast with Senator Lindsey Graham and Governor Bush. The thing is, and I say this with all the respect I can muster, to and for Ronald Reagan and the people who supported Reagan, the people that lived during the Reagan era, Ronald Reagan is no longer with us. The 1980s are a completely different era with completely different challenges economically, politically, socially, especially when it comes to foreign policy. If you're a Republican, you've experienced 8 years of a Democrat presidency that you don't like, but that does not make it 1979 again. What you might not understand, unless you're standing there, is these candidates, and I'm talking about Republicans, are walking right up to the line advocating for another war. I don't care if you're talking about Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, even Governor Bush, and they all couch it in different language, but that's really dangerous when you stop and think about it. Now, we can have a semantic argument about whether fighting terror is a war or not and what we need to do about it, and we should. We can have a semantic argument about whether we need to declare war on ISIS if such a thing is possible, but I think we'd all agree we're not involved in the emotional, political, and economic chaos of deploying huge military resources in a shooting war on a mass scale like we did in Iraq and Afghanistan in 2003 or World War II or the Korean War or Vietnam, thus bringing home large numbers of casualties in wheelchairs or, unfortunately, body bags. A question for Republicans would be, do you really want to go through that again because you're concerned or afraid of ISIS? And the answer is, it's complicated. And it's going to take a lot of complicated thinking to figure out how to do this. There isn't a pat answer like, we're going to bomb the hell out of them. And I'll say it again, this is not the Reagan era. And as much as Republicans love to remember Reagan, remember that he negotiated and he trusted and verified, which actually Jason makes strongly that point in the podcast. But he did not get the country involved in a giant major conflict. It's hard to believe when you listen to politicians on the campaign trail comparing themselves and the talk show hosts who compare them to Ronald Reagan and comparing this era to the Reagan era. It has been suggested on this podcast by Jason that you can't have limited government at home and big government abroad. I don't know if I agree. I think, as I said before, foreign policy is complicated. It does not come out of a can. It does not have a quip answer. It's complicated, and it takes some serious thinking. Jason has his own objections and concerns with the president's Iran deal, which he details in that podcast. But you have to listen to it in order to hear them. Now, I think this country needs a new foreign policy. I've said it, I'll say it again. I also think pulling out the Reagan playbook, as good as it was, isn't going to work this time. Reagan himself came to certain conclusions because he entertained many notions, not just the ones he agreed with. It's going to take a lot of discussion and open-minded thinking and debating to work out what our foreign policy should be. And then it's going to take a lot of political work to get it passed and see it through and then see it actually work. But personally, I'd rather have somebody in Congress who is willing to entertain some new thinking than somebody who has no imagination, whether I agreed with him or not. Now, you're welcome to argue with Jason Lewis, and you're welcome to your point of view, and you're welcome to endorse or not endorse anybody that you want. I'm not going to advocate either way. But the least you can do is listen to what the man said, hear him out, and then draw your own conclusions rather than going off half-cocked. Moreover, open-mindedness will probably end up playing better in a district balance between Republicans and Democrats in a just general election. You know, we've got to have new thinking in politics in this country today, and the same old stuff just isn't going to work. It's not going to work to get people elected, and it's not going to work in actual implementation. Personally, I think Jason scares the daylights out of Republicans who are in the establishment in Minnesota, which considers, the milk bread second district as its fiefdom. Not only are they attacking his comments in my podcast, and this is the second issue, but former Minnesota State Senator John Howe is casting his own aspersions on Jason's radio career and his internet initiative, Galt.io. First of all, I told a group once that I was speaking to, and they were shocked to hear this, but I think it's true, that the enemy of the true conservative isn't the Democrat in Minnesota. The real enemy of the true limited government conservative is the big government Republican, the Republican establishment, who may as well be Democrats as far as I'm concerned. They will stop at nothing to maintain power. First, as far as Jason's radio career is concerned, I've always known him as a professional, powerful, and successful talk show host with a big following and a riot to work with. I've known him for 20 years, having first met him when I was at KS95 in the 90s. Jason might give establishment Republicans fits. He always has, actually. But implying that he is dishonest is really the worst of the worst when it comes to these mushy moderate Republicans. Why is John Howe attacking Jason? Well, maybe it is since he intends to ignore the endorsement in the second, Is his goal to knock out the stronger potential candidate in Jason Lewis so his opponent is David Gerson? Maybe he thinks he can beat David Gerson easier than Jason Lewis. And if that's true, attacking the integrity of an honest man just because he is your opponent and he scares you, and then pulling in a really nice guy like David Gerson is really pretty low. Well, I am aboard Mobile Podcast Command, and right here in the cabinet, I got my Hydrus. I brought it with me because, of course, I'm doing yoga on the road, and, you know, I have to have Hydrus because it makes a huge difference in my yoga practice, whether you are doing the kind of yoga that the room is, you know, 85 degrees or 100 degrees, and I've been doing Bikram, so it's really hot. You sweat a lot, and you can easily get dehydrated even if you drink a lot of water, and this is where the Hydrus comes in. You know, I thought soreness went with the territory. You'll see this a lot of times on exercise websites. People will say, hey, you know, sore today, strong tomorrow. The thing is, with Hydrus, you can mitigate the soreness, and so you can work deeper, you can take it to the edge, and it really makes a huge difference in your workout, and you get better and you get stronger. It's transformed my yoga practice, and it doesn't matter whether you do some kind of SoulCycle or Orange Fit, CrossFit, maybe you lift, maybe you do competitive sports, or somebody you love does competitive sports. Hydrus makes a huge difference. We have CrossFit athletes who compete, and one of our top CrossFit athletes said that she used to have to take 2 or 3 days off after a competition. Now she drinks the Hydrus every day, and she's able to get back in the gym the Monday after the competition. She's not hitting it as hard as usual, but she's amazed that she can get back in the gym. What is Hydrus? Very quickly, it's a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology. It delivers critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness, and it doesn't have the sugar that you find in traditional sports drinks. Join the performance hydration revolution by visiting HydrusPerformance.com. You can get a free sample. You can order it. That's HydrusPerformance.com. It's being used by tennis athletes and wrestlers and hockey players, and it's amazing what it does. I can practice every day now, regularly, twice a day, and yes, I do take a day off every now and then without any soreness or pain. So it's awesome, and I am very happy to be able to use Hydrus. And I may have some exciting Hydrus news for you later on this trip. Okay, so today we're broadcasting live from Sumter, South Carolina, where the Jeb Bush campaign did a retail event, and I'm going to take you inside this event, originally scheduled for a place called Baker Suites, which could hold probably 75 people. They had nearly 300 people RSVP, so they moved it to the University of South Carolina, this really nice little hall in the Arts and Letters building. By the way, Baker Suites has an amazing potato soup. Now, you guys know that I don't eat carbs, but I could not help myself. And if you're ever here, you'll understand why. It has bacon bits in it and cheese, and it's amazing. Now, I have telescoped the entire event for you, as I have all the other events I've seen, to give you an idea of what Bush and Senator Lindsey Graham are advocating and what an event for Jeb Bush is like. And again, you draw your own conclusions, but it'll give you a little flavor of candidate Bush. Here we go. Well, here we are. We had to drive 150 miles. It's a little different from Iowa in the sense that you could group events around Davenport or Waterloo or Des Moines, and you could get to them all. This is a little different situation because most of the candidates today are kind of clustered around the Columbia, Spartanburg, Greenville area, although Columbia is a long way from Spartanburg and Greenville because the debates are up there. Yesterday they were all in Charleston. So we're in Sumter. This was the closest event for me today, and you know, took me an hour and a half to get here. So this is very interesting because this is going to be a little bit different geography, and the towns are a little bit more spread out, and so the retail events are going to be a little bit more spread out over the next few days. So my feeling is that, you know, candidates are going to use television and radio a little bit more in South Carolina than they do in Iowa. We'll see. If that's true, then that's going to benefit a candidate like Jeb Bush. And I have no idea what his media, you know, effort is in this state right now. There was a John Kasich event, which was in Myrtle Beach, which is further away from Sumter from where I was in Charleston. So I said, I'll go to the Bush event. And the reason is, you know, I want to cover some of these quote-unquote lesser candidates. And I hesitate to use the term because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5, 10, 11 primaries. So the polls may say someone is lesser, but, you know, it's hard to tell with any of these people. You know, you can make bets, but as people get out, it benefits candidates that stay in because those votes have to go somewhere. Or at least, you know, preference in polls has to go somewhere.
Seated. Good afternoon. Thank you for coming out today. My name is Mick Zace, and for some of you may remember, I used to be your state superintendent of education.
Yeah.
You know, the best predictor of future performance is not how eloquent a speech you can give or whether or not you are the captain of your high school debate team. The best predictor of future performance is past performance. And by that criterion, Jeb Bush is clearly the number one candidate for our President of the United States. A lot of people have opinions on national security, but not all opinions are equally well informed by experience, background, training. Before I became an educator, I spent 31 years in the Army as a paratrooper and ranger. I served as the commanding general of U.S. and Allied forces in Kuwait.
Thank you.
And as the chief of war plans in the Pentagon. I've looked at all of the war plans that have been developed by our presidential candidates for our conflict in the Middle East. And I can assure you that no candidate has a plan that it is as comprehensive, achievable, and as practical as that plan developed by Governor Bush and that he has espoused during his candidacy. War is a serious business, particularly for those of us who fight it. And to prosecute a war, we need a commander-in-chief who has mature, refined judgment and has the experience to successfully prosecute that war. And that person is Governor Jeb Bush. As Senator Lindsey Graham has been to the Middle East 38 different times on official business. It's my pleasure to introduce to you Senator Lindsey Graham. How you doing?
If you'd like to share with
Thank
everybody in this
you.
Room while you've worked for the last 7 years to cover up the weapons stuff that Shaw Air Force Base
Thank
is directly
you.
Responsible for 5 7 years. Cover up the weapons stuff at Shaw Air Force Base.
Thank
you. 7 years ago, you told me
leave it alone.
And then I heard it.
That's okay.
Share that with us.
That's okay.
Tell us it happened.
Thank you for coming.
Tell us what
Goodbye. Thank you. Donald Trump will be glad to meet you. To the children here, study hard. Because if you don't, you'll have to go in politics like I did.
I made 800 on the SAT. That's both parts. The bad news for you is I'm one of the smarter ones up there. Don't you think it shows? Yeah, me too. All right, this is the home of Shell Air Force Base. And the terrorists hear that, they duck. If I had 8 years to live, I'd want to live during the Obama administration, because it seems like forever. I've learned that what we're doing is not working. And I've learned that those who are fighting this war deserve better than what they've got today. I would not be supporting Jeb Bush for Commander-in-Chief, President of the United States, if I didn't believe he had the experience. And he called me in August when I was running against him to ask for my advice. Doesn't that make you feel better about him? That he would call somebody that he was running against and ask them for their advice. That's not a sign of weakness, that's a sign of strength. And I want to tell you, Jeb, we like Bushes in South Carolina. He's going to go into the other primary states standing tall, because the people in South Carolina, Jeb, are going to give you their vote. Ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States.
Standing ovation.
Thank you. I'm a candidate for president, but I'm available for grandparent duty too at any time. We're on the verge of deciding whether we're going to be America. Full of hope, full of optimism, dynamic, where we take risks, where it's not all planned out for us, where we create a fair system where people pursue their dreams as they see fit, or we're going to be a get-in-line society, a grievance society. Life's not fair. It's not fair to me. I'm not getting what everybody else gets, so I'm going to get what I want. We have politicians that are preying on people's fears right now. They're praying, literally praying on their angst and fears that are legitimate. And then we have candidates that believe that we're on the verge of greatness again, but we have to solve the problems that exist. The press talks about this as lanes, you know, there's an establishment lane and an outsider lane, like we're all little cars on some interstate. Well, I'm in the lane of solving problems, whatever lane that is. Not about the big personalities on the stage. It's not about even gifted politicians that can turn the phrase better than I could ever imagine doing. It's about how we're going to elect someone to lead us to a better place, where we get to rise up again, where we're safe and secure. 7 years ago, we elected a gifted orator, someone that talked about no red states, no blue states, only the United States of America. It was soaring, you know, it was amazing. I remember the Iowa caucuses. I was with my wife, Kaluma, we're watching this play out and watching this gifted person speak in a way that was so unifying, so amazing. But nothing in his background would suggest that he could make a tough decision. His first impulse has been for 7 long years to push people down to make himself look better. We're electing a president of the United States. We've had 6 years of a deep divide, where if you disagree with President Obama on the Iranian agreement, perhaps the worst negotiated agreement in modern times, that jeopardizes our national security, creates tumult throughout the Middle East, creates uncertainty where our friends no longer believe we have their back and they might be right, and our enemies no longer fear us, where they immediately, the day after the agreement signed, continue to shout death to Israel and death to America. That's the agreement that Barack Obama was defending. And the way he defended it, rather than defend it on its merits, was to say those that disagree with me, like Lindsey Graham in the United States Senate, are in cahoots with the Death to America crowd. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of politicians. Who do you want to have to sit behind the big desk?
You, sir.
That was a rhetorical question. But keep me in the choir. I'll keep preaching. The establishment, because I'm George H.W. Bush's son, and I'm proud of that. I'm part of the establishment because I'm a proud brother of George W. Bush. It is an incredible blessing. I'm so fortunate to be able to say that my family is my family. But I also know that my life experience matters as well, and you should want to know what it is. It's 32 years in the private sector. I've signed the front side of a paycheck. I know what it's like when regulations become so unbearable, or you have a credit crunch, or life changes. The world the progressives want you to believe is just get in line, Mark Stepford, you know, one step forward, it'll all work out, we'll organize it all, we're smarter than you. Just trust us, we'll take care of you. That's the way they see it. And then we have people on the right that say, hey, I'll take care of you because I'm a successful person. No plans, no sense that they could do it, no talents of solving problems, no ability to bring people together. Just I'm the big horse on the stage. It's all about me. I'll take care of you. That is a false choice. And I built a business with my partner to be the largest commercial real estate company in South Florida. I didn't go bankrupt four times and call that success. Years in a swing state, the largest swing state in this country, where I turned the place upside down. They didn't call me part of the establishment when I was governor of the state of Florida. They called me a disruptor. And that's exactly what I did. A juvenile justice program got vetoed. It's called Where You At. I vetoed it for bad grammar because education is a hot The next president needs a line item veto power, and Vito Corleone needs to go to Washington, D.C. as well. We need a president that recognizes that we need to live with, government needs to live within our means, yeah, rather than making them grow faster than our ability to pay for. And the next president needs to have leadership to fix the mess as it relates to national security. Because the economic security that we have is a disaster, and we need to fix it. But we're never going to grow the way we need to grow to create income opportunities for people unless we're safe. And today, we're not safe.
Right.
The director of national intelligence gave one of the most breathtakingly depressing assessments of where we are this week. He says, at no time in modern history are we under threat compared to where we are today. Since ISIS has been created, a caliphate that we allowed to happen, it is our responsibility that ISIS exists in the form of controlling the territory they have. 40,000 jihadists organized to destabilize the world, enslave people that don't embrace their ideology. If you're an infidel, you'll be killed. If you're a young Yazidi, you'll be raped and enslaved. If you're a Christian, you can forget it. This is the world that they live in, and the creation of territory controlled the size of Indiana now creates risk all around the world. We needed a strategy to destroy ISIS. To protect the homeland, we need to defeat them there rather than where they come from. We don't have a dog in the fight, Donald Trump says. Let ISIS take out Assad, Donald Trump says. Let Russia, after he's flattered by Putin, literally flattered, he folds like a cheap suit the minute a dictator, a despot, says something nice about him. And he says, let Russia take out ISIS. And then eventually, after the bombing in San Bernardino, he says, we're going to bomb the blank, blank, blank out of ISIS using a vulgarity. That's not leadership. That's a lot of insecurity. I'm not a professional in terms of diagnosis of people like that, so I can't give you what the actual illness is. But that's weakness. And that sends a compelling weak signal to the rest of the world that the United States is not serious. We need a president with a steady hand. We need a president that has a strategy to do this. We need a president that brings the Arab world to our side in a unified effort. We need Europe to follow our lead. We need a president that knows what he's doing, not talking cheap talk. If we nominate Donald Trump, we're going to be destroyed in the general election. But if he won, it would be a disaster as well with a foreign policy that will create uncertainty, will create insecurity, rather than what we need, which is a president that rebuilds our military so that we don't have to use it, so that we're so strong and powerful that it changes the behavior of our enemies. And we organize the destruction of the government before it's too late. We will never solve our problems unless we become American again. If we're going to succeed as a nation, we need to be Americans again without the hyphens. And that's my mission. Now, 10 days from now, you all will have the time to decide. And you can shape this election going forward. I hope you make the right choice. If you already support me, I hope you get 10 other people to do what I believe is important, to change the context of this election, to make it about leadership and how we can restore greatness in this country again. Thank you all very much. Love you.
Live from the campaign trail in Sumter, South Carolina, the Bob Davis Podcast. Special thanks to Yonder and Kelsey for the music. I think the band is called Yonder. I never did figure that out. And special thanks to the Music Farm in Charleston for a great time. Jeff and everyone else at the door, thanks to you. Really had a good time. So I was driving along to the dam out near these Air Force bases, and I look up and I see this plane coming in and turning to go on final. And I thought to myself, angle of attack. And you pilots will know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're a pilot and you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings, Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. Alpha Systems is a digital sponsor of the Bob Davis Podcast. If you want to know more, you can click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcast. It takes you to Alpha's page, and you can find out all about Alpha Systems and how it works. It's FAA approved. It saves lives. It has saved lives, and they want to get into your avionics package today. Click on the Alpha Systems banners for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. And thank you for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. Thanks again to Hydrus for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Don't forget, it makes a huge difference by helping you get hydrated, and that makes a huge difference in whatever you do. Tennis, yoga, CrossFit, even if you walk, cross-country skiing. And I'll tell you more about Hydrus going forward. We may have a special announcement here coming up in a future podcast. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. And of course, I know it is cold in the Twin Cities, and that means freezing and thawing, and that can cause plumbing problems that you didn't expect. Water heaters, toilets, pipes breaking in business and at home. So it doesn't matter if you have a business location or your home location. If you have an emergency, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Greg Ryan, I'm sure, has plumbers just about all over the metro, so I know they can get to you and help you out if you need help. So thanks, you guys, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcast. Ryan Plumbing and Heating for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems in St. Paul and Minneapolis. 651-224-4771 or 612-927-6488. Do a search for Ryan Plumbing. They're going to come up right away. Or you can just go to ryanplumbing.com or click on the banner at the top of the Bob Davis Podcasts. All right, thanks for listening on Stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, BlogTalkRadio.com, and I'm going to mention Google Play. Why? I checked Google Play the other day, and I had just posted a podcast, and it was already up at Google Play, so they're very fast. Thanks for liking, sharing, and favoriting, and watching my videos on Facebook and Instagram. I'm BDavis7843 on Instagram, and I'm putting pictures and videos all over the place. So if you want to watch me on the trip, they're up. And thanks for your donations also at thebobdavispodcast.com. It is keeping me in Komodo Dragon coffee and beef jerky for sure, and diesel fuel. So anything that you can send, $5, $10, $2, $2,000, I'll take it, because it's keeping this thing on the road. As we head through South Carolina to cover election 2016, the primary races, after this we're on to Georgia and Florida and Texas. So keep those contributions coming. I really appreciate it. Ed Nass and John, and I'll, you know, actually I'm going to have to do a whole list in a future podcast. I just don't have that list right now. Anyway, time for me to chill out in mobile podcast command here at the TA truck stop just outside of Sumter, South Carolina. And thanks for listening to podcast 465.
Oh, you're traveling with Yonder? Just traveling around.